Bill Riggs is stuck. He's superintendent of Mount Vernon Community Schools, and his district is losing money. To make up for the losses, Riggs says his district has no choice. It has to cut bus services or make families pay a busing fee. The problem is, the last district that did that, Franklin Township, got hit with a lawsuit. If this all sounds familiar, by the way, it's because we spoke to Riggs earlier this month.
If Franklin Township loses the lawsuit, for you guys, what's plan B? I mean, what do you cut if you can't cut busing?
Well, there really isn't anything to cut.
A statewide property tax cap has diverted more than $200 million away from Indiana school districts. In Mount Vernon, Riggs may want to cut busing to help solve his tax cap pinch, but what he says he wants even more is a fix from the state legislature.
I just hope that the upcoming session doesn't get caught up in the right-to-work legislation and some of these other important issues get lost.
Ah, right to work.
Governor Mitch Daniels says right to work is critical.
Another state house showdown over the right to work.
It almost derailed the entire 2011 Indiana General Assembly.
Spending almost the entire session on right to work.
Most legislative observers say the issue of whether workers can be forced to join a union will dominate the upcoming session. But some education policy experts wonder if the issue could crowd out some bills relevant to Indiana's schools. This, after all, is a short session, ending just 10 weeks after it starts.
It's a sprint that's going to feel like a marathon.
That's Libby Searsniak, an attorney for Baker and Daniels, who lobbies the legislature for the Indianapolis Public School District. She thinks the legislature is the only entity outside of a court that can address the concerns of districts hurting because of the property tax caps.
It's very problematic. I'm not sure that there necessarily is another solution absent, you know, an infusion of state funds to help.
There are other education issues the General Assembly will likely decide. Lawmakers could give their support to a sped-up timeline for state intervention in failing schools. The state could also change the way it counts how many students each school enrolls for the purpose of divvying out state funding. It's a huge shift, Searsniak says, and it's likely to pass, too. But does right to work itself have implications for education? Searsniak says no. Indiana teachers have effectively been right to work since 1995. David Dressler at the Center of Excellence in Leadership of Learning says it could only become an education issue indirectly.
If indeed there's a big brouhaha over right to work, that may cause some of the educational issues to take a backseat.
But Gail Zaharilis disagrees. She's the director of government relations for the Indiana State Teachers Association. The way she sees it, it is an education issue, sort of a domino effect. Right to work tends to lower wages, she says. Lower wages mean lower tax revenues. Lower state tax revenues mean less state funding for education.
From a purely education standpoint, it certainly does impact. But even beyond that, it's an issue of respect for the right of the collective voice of employees.
Zaharilis doesn't like to predict what issues will make it through the General Assembly. Dressler and Searsniak say a fix for Mount Vernon's property tax troubles is not likely to be one of them. But Superintendent Bill Riggs says he's spoken to legislators who recognize the gravity of the property tax situation.
These are things that affect people on a daily basis as well, and they need to be addressed. So I'm hoping the General Assembly makes room for them.
That may be a bit of an understatement from Riggs. According to state figures, his is one of 48 school districts that saw property tax revenues decrease by 10% or more this year. And in a few districts, like Anderson and Vincennes, between 20 and 30% of their property tax income is gone. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Kyle Stokes.